Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, and you are invited to take control of the airwaves. You can talk about whatever is important to you or whatever's on your mind, whatever you happen to want to talk about. 603-283-6160 if you would like to do that. Again, that's 603-283-6160. With you tonight is Aria,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
And of course, we also have stuff to talk about here, like UFOs. That's the big thing. I brought in show prep about this yesterday, but we didn't really get into it because there was other stuff to talk about. But, like, the idea is fascinating. Of course, this has been telegraphed. If you've been paying attention, this UFO thing has been telegraphed for at least 2 years, maybe longer. And, of course, you got conspiracy theorists who talk about Project Bluebeam and things along those lines. But the mainstream media, the government, the whatever you want to call the apparatus that controls the power in the world, they have been very clearly laying the groundwork to prepare just the people in the United States for the reality of extraterrestrial life. I don't know how else to look at it. Between the UFOs that were being testified about by the Pentagon, by the U.S. Navy, by the U.S. Air Force.
The ones that were supposedly shot down in Canada, and then we just stopped hearing about it in, like, January.
I don't remember those.
It was during the same exact time as the quote-unquote Chinese air balloon.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah, it was, like, all in the same week.
There's definitely been a lot of them over the last few years. A number of hearings before Congress in regard to UFOs and various military people coming out saying, hey, look, we study the skies for a living. Like, that's what you pay us to do. And we don't know what these things are. We don't think they came from Earth, or we don't think humans crafted them or whatever. Some of them say we think they came from other dimensions. Some of them from outer space. They don't know. Right. No, it's just here's something flying around in our airspace, in our humans' airspace, I mean, and we don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first recorded UFO sighting was in the 50s, right?
It depends on what you mean by recorded, because, like, there's...
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. There's, like, cave paintings and stuff, but I guess, like, modern day, that was,
you know... Was that the one in New Hampshire?
Was that New Hampshire?
There was...
I know there was one in New Hampshire, but...
Yeah, it was, like, a man and woman, like, husband and wife. I don't know what year that was, though.
For some reason, I thought there was another one that was out west, but I don't know, like, whatever, which one was the first one, but obviously, you know, when that first started happening, it was like, you know, the government or what was trying to discredit it, like, no, these people are crazy. So it's just so interesting to me that now, recently, within the past 2 years, like you mentioned, it's, you know, I mean, Biden just mentioned it so nonchalantly, like, oh, yeah, UFOs, whatever. It's like, what? You guys have been trying to discredit this for the past 70 years, at least, right. And now all of a sudden it's just like, oh, obviously there's aliens.
Well, it's difficult to believe them, right? In any capacity, it's difficult to believe them. And, like, yes, they seem to have been lying about the existence of extraterrestrials, at least since Roswell. And I don't know what happened at Roswell, but for those who don't know, and the story about Roswell is something crashed out there in the desert. And I think it was the county sheriff went to investigate because one of the neighbors called in and was like, hey, something fell from the sky out here. And it appears that there's somebody alive out here. Mm-hmm. So the sheriff went out there, if I remember correctly. The sheriff testified to having seen a body or whatever. But anyway, they were all like, this is an extraterrestrial craft. We found a UFO, guys. This is the U.S. military. One of the branches came out and said that, if I remember correctly. And I may not remember correctly, and I didn't research this like you would expect someone, a professional, to have done. And then they came out the very next day and said, oh, no, wait, we were wrong, guys. That wasn't a UFO. Mm-hmm. That was a weather balloon.
That's what I was thinking of. So that happened in 1947.
Yes, and that's completely crazy. Like, how do you go from UFO to weather balloon in the span? Like, when they said it was a UFO, they said that with, like, conviction, right?
Yeah.
Like, they weren't somewhat unsure. They're like, this is a UFO. We got a UFO. And then there was other reports about people finding a body that got vanished. And it's just, we don't know what happened at Roswell. But that's the earliest example I can think of where the United States started lying. And as soon as nuclear technology began developing, from what I've heard of these people who allegedly watch extraterrestrial crafts for a living, they seem to be drawn toward nuclear facilities for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah, and Bigfoots, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And lots of people who work there report seeing them in the CCTV cameras, or whatever they're called, the cameras.
Yeah. And they don't seem to care whether something is water or atmosphere or air. And that's one of the things that I find most fascinating about some, and most compelling about some of these videos is that they treat water in exactly the same way as, you know, we would expect to treat air, as though it's not there. Now, you know that if you're running along the ground, you're going to run at your normal pace. But if you're running through water, you're going to run significantly slower. Aircraft faces the same problem, or some of them get crushed by the pressure, but that's a different point. But they, you know, it slows you down. But these videos, some of which I've seen, and some of which you can find out there on the internet, that appear to be legitimate, and the U.S. government is like, yep, this video is legitimate. They don't seem to matter whether they're traveling through water or the atmosphere.
Which would make sense if they were coming from a place where their atmosphere is totally different, and they just see ours as something that they studied and figured out how to travel through.
In other news, though, also coming up, the United States Supreme Court has allowed the IRS to carry on warrantless searches of your data. But in happier news, listening to heavy metal helps relieve stress. And I totally believe that.
I believe that, too.
I've also got a story about Pink Floyd that I want to talk about because, you know, Pink Floyd was my favorite band through most of my life. They lost that spot to A Perfect Circle, and then they lost that spot to Butcher Babies. But through most of my life, my favorite band was Pink Floyd. I followed their work very, very closely. And David Gilmour is probably the single biggest guitar inspiration that I have. So I'm very familiar with the album, the movie, The Wall, and the live performances that came with it. And Roger Waters, during this performance, is required to play an authoritarian dictator, effectively.
Yeah, it's like the whole point of the album.
Yeah. And he uses authoritarian images, right? With like red and black and logos, and it's very evil looking, which is by design. So anyway, he did this at a concert in, I think, Germany. And got banned from performing in Germany because of it, even though there was no actual Nazi imagery in the performance.
Yeah, it was just close enough. And the most ironic part about that whole thing is they've performed The Wall in Berlin, before.
But you're not allowed to do so many different Nazi things in Germany.
It's they're very strict about it over there for obvious reasons.
Insensitive about it.
Also, the war on gays has returned, but I want to get into this UFO story first because that's the one I find most fascinating that's going around today. Because intelligence officials say that the United States has retrieved craft of non-human origins. And this isn't entirely new, right? This goes back to what we were just talking about with Roswell and the allegations. But this is a former intelligence official telling Congress straight up. Now, you have to be committed to, like, it's one thing for these astronauts to go, I'm sick of only making $80,000 a year, whatever. I'm going to write a book about how NASA's covering up aliens, and I'm going to make a few million dollars and retire. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But to testify before Congress, well, you're committing perjury if you're lying. You can lie in a book, and no one's really going to care, for the most part. But you can't lie to Congress. That's a crime. So when a former intelligence official comes out and says, oh, yeah, hey, guys, to Congress, we have these extraterrestrial crafts, that's worth a lot more to me than some astronaut writing a book. So this former intelligence official turned whistleblower has given Congress and the intelligence community inspector general extensive classified information about covert programs that he says possess retrieved intact and partially intact craft of non-human origin. And these things are flying around the skies throughout the world, not just the United States. And as I've heard, it's difficult to know what to believe, but the United States military has a policy of not engaging these crafts and to just sort of ignore them because every time they tried to engage them, it was just painfully clear very quickly that the U.S. military was like completely outmatched,
oh,
as
yeah.
you would expect. Like, it can just vanish if it wants to. The information that this whistleblower says has been illegally withheld from Congress, and he filed a complaint alleging that he suffered illegal retaliation for his confidential disclosures, reported here, thedebrief.org, for the first time. Other intelligence officials, both active and retired, with knowledge of these programs through their work in various agencies, have independently provided similar corroborating information, both on and off the record. So it's not just one whistleblower here. It's multiple whistleblowers. Have either of you read the book Project Bluebeam?
No, I have
no,
not.
I know basically what it is. It's like, oh, the government's going to come out with... I mean, I totally believe it. I'm not trying to make fun of it. I mean, I would totally believe it. I don't believe it without having proof. But it basically is like the government has the technology to kind of like make a hologram in the sky that looks very real. And therefore, they're going to show us that and tell us it's aliens and then make us do things like the... basically 9/11, like, oh, you have to give us more of your freedoms away so we can protect you from the alien terrorists.
Sort of, but one of the things that the people who, you know, promote Project Bluebeam as something to be concerned about to gloss over is the fact that the entire thing was apocalyptic and Christian motivated. The entire thing is like, this is how the Antichrist is going to come back, and it very much comes at it from that perspective that it's not the government that's the problem here. It's the devil. And the devil is doing all of this. The devil is creating these holograms and misleading people.
The government, I mean, the Antichrist would need the government.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I was about to say they pretty much are.
But yeah. When a Christian writes a book about an alien invasion actually being demons that are, you know, taking over the world with the Antichrist, I give it a lot more skepticism than I would just a book of someone like, hey, guys, the government's going to fake an alien invasion. To me, the two things aren't equally probable, right?
Oh, and you're saying that Project Bluebeam is just talking about the government.
No, Bluebeam is entirely about Christianity and the apocalypse and a misreading of the book of Revelation that suggests that all of this is going to happen in our lifetimes versus having already happened in, like, you know, 200 CE. So that's what Project Bluebeam is, at least what I've read. And I didn't read it completely because I skimmed it. Because it became very clear to me that this was a Christian document. It was like Left Behind, but written as though they thought it was nonfiction.
But Project Bluebeam, wasn't it the actual name of an actual government project, or was it just the name of this book?
It was, as far as I know, it was only the name of the book.
Oh.
And, you know, I think he attested that it was the name of a secret government project, but didn't provide any evidence to substantiate that, which, you know, isn't the worst thing. You know, these whistleblowers who go before Congress and say, look, the government has aircrafts, they don't have evidence either. It's sometimes okay to believe things when people don't have evidence. But when someone comes along and they write a book and, like, the Antichrist is coming, he's going to take over the world, and he's going to use the U.S. government, they're going to fake an alien invasion in order to justify their power grab and make everyone get the mark of the beast, that requires a little bit more evidence than, I mean, and these UFO things, they do come with video evidence and stuff like that. So there is some of that. So this whistleblower, anyway, his name is David Grush. He's 36, a decorator. I don't care about
David Koresh?
Grush.
No, I'm joking.
And I learned recently that the name Koresh was a corruption of Cyrus, and that was the reason that he took those two names. And I don't remember the significance of the name Cyrus, but
because
it had something
David
to do with Babylon.
The king was Cyrus that David got, I don't know, David did something with that. I don't know. It's like Xerxes and Cyrus, I think they're the same person.
Okay, yeah, it's got some sort of biblical significance, and I don't
wrong,
remember what it was.
But I think that King David did something with King Cyrus. I don't know what.
I think that's right, and I just don't remember what it was. And that was why he chose the name Koresh as a corruption of Cyrus. And I didn't know that until very recently. I just assumed it was the dude's name, right?
But me too.
No, it wasn't. It was his, that's his Jesus name. The task force that they're talking about that we're now being revealed about, I don't know what I'm trying to say, the task force that they're discussing that was doing all of these things, there we go, was established to investigate what were once called unidentified flying objects, but now they're calling UAPs, unidentified anomalous phenomena.
I forgot that they changed it.
It's not any better.
Yeah, it's like, just keep a UFO.
That's the thing. What's the point of even changing it?
Yeah, everyone knows what UFO is.
Yeah.
I guess they thought that if they called it something else, they could get away from some of the stigma associated with...
That's probably,
I don't know. Did it work?
No, it didn't.
Yeah. And no one says UAPs, right? We're still talking about UFOs here.
That was a thing at all. I forgot.
The task force was led by the Department of the Navy, blah, blah, blah. It has since been reorganized and expanded into the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Good Lord, the government loves their bureaucracies, man. So let me, I skipped over a lot of this because it's just a lot of names for offices and crap, but check it out. The task force was led by the Department of the Navy under the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security, but it has since been reorganized and expanded into the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office.
My dad said that King David was way before King Cyrus. I just like drew a thing in my head together because you said like, oh, that guy's last name meant Cyrus. And I was like, oh, David and Cyrus, they have something to do together. I don't know. I just like made that up on accident.
Well, I'm glad you were fact-checked.
Well, Cyrus does have biblical significance. I just don't know what it is. And that was why he took the name correct.
He was a king, but he was like way after David, apparently.
Okay. So Gruce said that the recoveries of partial fragments through and up to intact vehicles have been made for decades. So I hate the way they said that. Gruce said that the recoveries of partial fragments of unidentified flying objects have been brought about for decades through the president. Good God, did they have artificial intelligence write that sentence? I can't process what is even saying. Analysis has determined that the objects retrieved are of exotic origin, non-human intelligence, whether extraterrestrial or unknown. Based on the vehicle morphologies and the material science testing and the possession of unique atomic arrangements and radiological signatures. All Greek to me.
Yeah.
But it's this guy who studies this crap for a living says these are not made by humans. In filing his complaint, Gruch is represented by a lawyer who served as the original. It's more crap we don't care about. In accordance with protocols, Gruch provided the defense office. Oh, good Lord, more of these titles. The Defense Office of Pre-Publication and Security Review at the Department of Defense is the name of this particular office. With the information that he intended to disclose, Gruch's disclosures and those of non-public witnesses under new protective provisions of the latest Defense Appropriations Bill, which, like, the U.S. military does all this stuff, and they don't apparently tell Congress about it. And Congress's job, sort of, is to be told about this stuff that the military is doing.
But why? Like, even when he was, at the beginning, when you were saying he was denied the ability to talk to Congress about it, I was like, but what's there to gain from talking to Congress about it?
I don't think there's any, I don't know.
Is it, like, effectively, like, going public? That's, like, the only way to go public or something? Because I can't see why you'd want to talk to those idiots.
I mean, that's certainly one way of going public. But I don't think it's the only way. But he's going to get more credibility if he talks to Congress versus just writing a book about it, right?
Or going to the media.
Yeah, and those are really the only options he has here. And, you know, in the mythology of these people where they believe that the government is this great and wondrous thing, you know, they want to tattletale to the government, hey, these people over here are doing something bad.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. He probably thinks, like, oh, they're going to do something about this. If I tell Congress, they'll do something about it.
I suspect that's what he was thinking. And, of course, I mean, they seem to be trying to, for whatever reason. I mean, not for whatever reason. In their own defense, under new protective provisions of the latest Defense Appropriations Bill. So they wrote in the Defense Appropriations Bills that they release every year. The latest one includes provisions designed to protect whistleblowers from, you know, retaliation and crap like that. But if you're... It didn't seem to do this guy any good because he's been hiding this for years. And there's countless reports of, quote, the men in black and stuff visiting people. And who knows what parts of this are made up and what parts aren't. We're probably never going to know. For many decades, the Air Force carried out a disinformation campaign to discredit reported sightings of unexplained objects. Now, with two public hearings and many classified briefings under its belt, Congress is asking for answers. Carl Nell, a recently retired Army colonel, blah, 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 characterizes Gruch as beyond reproach, and that seems to be all they had to say. So they asked some Army colonel what his thoughts were about this guy who exposed the truth, allegedly. And he's like, well, he's horrible. He's beyond reproach. Because, of course, that's what a U.S. Army colonel would think, right? Mm-hmm. This guy, they think the same thing of Edward Snowden and mm-hmm. Julian Assange. Like, it's their job to protect the state and the status quo and to be angry at anyone who reveals the state secrets, especially military secrets. They're all about that crap.
Yeah, I feel pretty sad about that, like, 20-year-old who's going to prison forever for putting something in a chat server.
Oh, is he?
I don't know if it's prison forever, but he's definitely in big trouble.
Yeah, and that was the... I've already forgotten his name.
It's a crazy name, so I forgot.
He was bragging on a Discord server about having military clearance or something.
No, that he somehow knew information that there were American boots on the ground in Ukraine.
It feels like that kid was set up. Either way, that's a dumb thing to do.
It's a dumb thing to do, but it's really sad to, like...
Yeah, no, it is sad because you should be able to say whatever you want.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think the government should be allowed to have secrets.
Right. Me either.
So that's where I come
from. But it's for your safety. It's to protect. You know, it's to protect the greatest country in the world.
I don't think they need secrets in order to protect me. I know they think they do, but that's just because they like
having secrets. It's to protect
themselves.
It's not to protect us.
A number of well-placed current and former officials have shared detailed information with me regarding this alleged program, said Christopher Mellon, who spent nearly 20 years in the U.S. intelligence community. However, it's a delicate matter. Getting this potentially explosive information into the right hands for validation. This is made harder by the fact that, rightly or wrongly, a number of potential sources do not trust the leadership of the all-domain anomaly... Good God. Why do they have to include the full names of all of these bureaucracies every single time? The All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office established by Congress. Like, dude,
yeah, what does that even mean?
Yeah, those are the people that were established by Congress to research this stuff or to catalog it and keep records of all of the investigations into UFOs. I was just scanning this for, like, keywords and stuff. This next paragraph, I swear to God, it's half keywords. The United States intelligence community, with a top secret clearance, who currently works for the National Air and Space Intelligence Center, where the analysis of unidentified aerial phenomena has been his focus. Previously, he had experience serving private aerospace, the Department of Defense Special Directive Task Forces. Like, dude, do they know how little I care about this crap? I want to talk about this. This is a fascinating subject, right? Like, this dude went before Congress and said, hey,
yeah.
they have alien aircrafts over here, and like, they're trying to reverse engineer them and stuff. And instead, from what we get from the brief is just a rambling list of government organizations that no one gives a damn about.
Yeah, I mean, real information. It just feels like fluff.
I recognize Christopher Mellon. I don't know why. So I looked up his name and I couldn't find anything, but I don't know. If I find anything, I'll tell you.
Where is this article from, just out of curiosity?
That was from Debrief.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I mean, I've closed out of it because it was completely useless to me from the perspective of someone who is fascinated by this topic and wants to learn about it and talk about it. That article was one of the worst things I've ever read. I had to skip, like, half of that article as I was going through it, and there was still just constant jargon being thrown at me. It was absolutely horrible. 603-283-6160. But what do you think? Are aliens already here? Are they coming? Is it all a lie by the government? 603-283-6160.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Air quality alerts are in effect for approximately 100 million people across 18 states today as smoke from Canadian wildfires travels as far south as South Carolina. At 2 p.m. Eastern, New York City ranked as having the world's poorest air quality, as reported by IQAir.com. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum has entered the 2024 GOP presidential race, declaring his candidacy today.
We need a leader who's experienced firsthand that we win as a country when our innovators and entrepreneurs can soar and when every single person can grow and thrive.
He highlighted the need for change in the White House and effective management of the evolving economy. Former Vice President Mike Pence also launched his presidential campaign today in Iowa, emphasizing that it's the ideal place to kickstart the great American comeback. He criticized the Biden administration, stating the country is facing significant challenges. John Schaefer, USA News.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. As always, you are invited to take control of the airwaves. 603-283-6160 if you want to do that. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, just over a week, right? Like, I have one more week here on the show, in the studio at least, before I'm at Porkfest 2023. Looking forward to that. It's going to be fantastic. There's no ticket cost. Porkfest starts on June the 15th, or at least... That's when I'm going up. Well, yes, Forkfest starts on June the 15th, but you don't have to go up then. Most people do prefer to go up the weekend early, and I'm going up that Thursday so I can be set up and all of that great stuff, you know. See all of these people that I only get to see once a year. It's a fantastic experience. It's June the 15th through the 18th, and then the Porcupine Freedom Festival kicks off. And, of course, there we'll be recording Free Talk Live and, you know, doing shows from then, all of that stuff. So don't worry, not going anywhere yet. But we will continue doing the show, and... I mean, I haven't decided, like after Porkfest, right? Like, literally 2 days after Porkfest, I have to go to prison. So, I do have that Monday, and I'm always on the show on Monday night. So, it depends on where I'm going to be stationed at.
Yeah.
I say stationed, where I'm going to be imprisoned at, on whether I'm going to be on the show that Monday night, or just, like, calling in, or doing it, you know, remotely, if that's possible. I don't know, right? Like, if they put me in prison in somewhere like Oregon or California or something, then I have two options of getting a plane ticket out there and arriving there.
That'd be so crazy.
You have to buy your own plane ticket?
Well, the alternative is to be handcuffed inside of a bus for 12 hours a day over the course of weeks while they slowly transport me there.
Oh,
so,
creepy.
That was something I had never thought about. Someone within the system made me aware of this, that, you know, if my options are going to be to have them take me there, or to take myself there of my own accord. And, like, between those two things, the bus for 12 hours a day, and then you end up having to wait a week in Colorado or whatever in some local gringy county tail while you wait on some other bus to arrive to take you the rest of the journey. Just, it sounds like an absolutely miserable experience.
Yeah.
And there's no, I mean, the judge said, hey, put Aria somewhere in New England, but what the judge says doesn't matter.
So who decides this?
The Bureau of Prisons.
Oh.
Yeah, the judge does, and there's no accountability, right? This is what surprised people. But the judge said, well, yes, but it's not like the judge is going to follow up to make sure they did the right thing. And even if the judge did follow up, all they had to say is, well, look, we looked at things and we decided that, you know, this prison in Colorado was the best fit for Aria, so that's where we put her. And what's the judge going to do about it? Grant me freedom because he doesn't like where I was in prison? No.
I mean, that'd be good.
That checks out for me, and that's going to be it. So, and, of course, I don't have any further updates. Every single day someone asks me, do you have any updates yet? And I look at the timer I have where I think it clicked down to 19 full days remaining and then a number of hours a little while ago. And, like, I wish I had information. The obvious question that people ask me is, are you going to go to a men's prison or a women's prison? Well, I don't know. It's the government.
And when will you find that out? Like, right before?
Pretty much right before, yeah.
An hour before?
No, at some point during Pork Fest, right, yay, because that's what I want to. The U.S. Marshals will contact me.
Okay, that sounds fun.
You're right. And they will do this, thankfully, via telephone.
Okay.
So I don't have to worry about the U.S. Marshals showing up to Port Fest.
Yeah, buzzkill.
Yeah, that would be amusing in itself, but no, that's not. Apparently,
yeah, they don't want to do that.
No. And I heard this. I was like, look, man, to my attorney, can we skip that part and, like, not have that happen? Can we instead just, they call you?
Yeah.
And you call me? But no, that's not the way it works. The attorney's pretty much removed from the equation entirely at this point.
Yeah.
But, like, there's nothing further he can do.
No.
So, anyway, no new information, and I don't expect any new information. It's the government. They're not in a hurry to do anything. They were given 2 months to do this, and they're going to wait until the last minute, and that's when they're going to do it, and they're going to make a rash decision. They don't care. They're going to do whatever is easiest and most convenient for them because they're government employees, and they don't have to do anything except the minimum, and that's what they're going to do. If it's easiest for them to host me here in a women's prison, then that's what they'll do. If it's easier to throw me in Alaska in a men's prison, then that's what they'll do. They don't really care. Anyway, that's right after Pork Fest. Before that, though, I do get to hang out with all of the libertarians at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and that's going to make this a very weird experience for me, right? That's why I'm going to have the clock down timer there to sort of, as a conversation starter builder, what's that counting down to? When I go to federal prison, that's what that's
that
down
timer
to.
Would make me so anxious if I were you.
It probably will go away once it gets down to like less than a week. I don't know. At the moment, it's so vague, like 19 days remaining. It's not a lot, right? And I know that's not a lot, but still, that's enough where it doesn't occupy any part of my brain space. But once I look over there and I see it's like 5 days remaining or 4 days remaining, at that point, I might have to take a hammer to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway,
that might be a fun little ritual, though, smashing it.
Yeah. So come hang out with me at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. You might not get another chance to that's not true. I expect, you know, I'm sentenced to 8 months in federal prison. And
no, 18.
That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. I was sentenced to 18 months in federal prison, and initially, what we heard from the federal system was an 85% rule or something to that effect, and we expected me to be in prison for 12 to 15 months, or I don't remember the exact number, something like 16 months-ish of the 18 months in prison. But then we learned about the First Step Act that was passed in, I think, 2022, and some other things that the government has done to purportedly make it easier for someone to transition back into society, and it looked like, based on that information, I was going to spend closer to like 6 to 9 months in prison and then an additional 4 to 6 months in a halfway house or more likely under house arrest in my own house, which would have been a lot better. But everything I've been hearing since and reading since, it's very, there's no hard information. They're going to do what they want to do, and you're going to find different people saying different things based on their own personal experiences. And this is because it's all arbitrary. If they like you and you're convenient, they want you out of their hair, then yes, they'll get you out after 6 months and send you to house arrest, if that's convenient for them. But if they don't really care, then yeah, you're going to spend 12 to 15 months in there, or 18 months in there. So it varies widely from one person to another, because there's the First Step Act was designed to make it a little more consistent for a person to only serve part of their sentence and then do the rest in house arrest or in a halfway house.
Does that have something to do with COVID? Because it seems like they're like letting a lot of people out of prison during COVID.
There was that too, but I think that was state prisons, if I remember correctly. But
it would make sense. It's like if you really want to commit to this idea that people being around each other is going to spread a deadly disease, then at least get some people out of prison who don't really need to be there.
Yeah. I don't expect that to do me any favors, though.
It's kind of over.
Yeah. But that's what I have to look forward to. So coming out with me at the Porcupine Freedom Festival and at Fort Fest, June the 15th through June the 18th at Rogers Campground. In the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire, I'm looking forward to it. My dog is looking forward to it. She doesn't know
it
yet. But like every year, well, this will be her third year at Pork Fest, but like every year I take my cats and they just hang out in the hotel room, and everyone knows that's my hotel room because it's the one with the cats in the window, and like that's very clearly Aria's hotel room. And my dog, she just absolutely loves it. She's super friendly. She loves everyone. Mm-hmm. So this is like an experience. This is why she's so social and so friendly, is because the day after I got her, she was at Pork Fest.
Well, the day after. I thought it was like the week before you got her, something like that.
No, I got her on, I think it was June the 19th. It was a Sunday night. And the very next day was the Monday that was the start of Pork Fest.
So you'll have had her for 2 years this month?
This will be 3 years, I think. Hold on. 2 full years. This is starting year number 3, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's kind of so good. Like, I don't even take a leash when I walk her anymore. I just say, all right, let's go. And she just trots along beside me. And I live on the highway, so that's, like, risky. But she's really good and really smart. So, anyway, 603-283-6160, if you want to weigh in on that. I'm sure the subject of federal prison won't possibly come up again. But anyway, the point I was getting at was that it's going to make that Pork Fest that much more memorable for me, right? Which, this whole month has been that way, where like little things that I normally don't give any thought about, I find myself like trying to mentally capture.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to need it to get me through the miserable experience that will be 18 months in prison. But let's go to the phones, because again, we are a call-in show, 603-283-6160. We have Major Payne on the line from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, Ariel.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I hope this doesn't happen to you as it happened to me. I want to bump in on the aliens, too, before we're all done. But anyway, I got shanghaied by the feds a while back, and I had, like, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000 in my pocket. Well, they don't like it when you got a bunch of commissary money. They want you to be dependent on them. So I only had probably, I think I did 9 months once, and then I got probation, and so then they had such an accurate piss test that I violated probation by having a beer 4 days later.
So I'm curious about this, and I haven't looked into it. Like, the initial process of getting money into commissary seems like it's probably a bit difficult, because you need that money to get stamps and, you know, write letters and to contact people and all of that crap. But you don't want to borrow that. You don't want to borrow a stamp for someone in prison. You don't want to borrow anything from anyone in prison. So are you allowed to take in like $50 or $100 or whatever with you and have that put on your commissary?
Yes. But the problem is, what they did to me is they make like $1,700-$1,800 every time they transport you from one prison to another.
Oh, they make a lot of money with that, and with the commissary thing in general. There was an article that I wanted to get into like a year ago, or maybe, I don't know, maybe
you're
it was a year ago.
Tell you the story or not?
No, I'm just fleshing out what you're saying, because I thought we were having a conversation.
I just had a question about it, because I never heard that.
I'm trying to tell you what I expect is going to be your situation. What they do is they transport you about every 2-3 months, so your commissary money never, ever catches up with you. Or if it does, it's for a couple weeks, and they bump you out again. I think I got transported 6 different times in less than a year.
That's awful. I think that's the first story I've heard, though, of someone being regularly transported.
Me too. Also, another thing I've heard, which obviously every human being is different, so every, like, guard and warden or whatever is going to be different, but I heard that usually they're nicer to people that get a lot of letters, a lot of people putting money into their commissary and stuff, because it's like, it humanizes you in a way, so they see you more as someone who, oh, they, like, have friends outside of here. Unless you're, like, an a-hole to them and you have friends, they probably won't like that, but...
Isn't that so sad that you need, like, they're not humanizing people already?
Right.
You know? Like, I've worked with people in a healthcare setting that were, you know, previously COs, and you can tell, like, even the way they treat some of the patients, it's like, you're treating them like prisoners, you know? Like, and I have, like, reminded people before, like, hey... This isn't prison. Like, this is a healthcare facility. Stop.
Well, the Stanford Prison Experiment, you know, gives us some insight into why that happens. It causes them to have this us and them mentality, and them ceases to be human. You know, they're not in our group. They're not part of us. We're better than them. We literally have authority over them, so we can abuse them as we want. Luckily, from all the stuff I've read, the federal system is a lot better than any of these state systems. So there's at least that. But if you had to choose, it seems to me like prison in one of these European countries would be significantly better. Like some of these have prisons that are basically just hotels. And they look like they might actually be pleasurable to stay at.
I heard that when the Assange was, that was really bad, though. I think it was Spain.
Likely. Well, I mean, all of the European Union states are different, so...
It wasn't Assange. It was the one that McAfee died in. It was, like, really bad.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, he died there, and, you know, his wife still has not received his body. There still has not been...
So sad.
I don't think she's been given the details of the autopsy. She was tweeting about this recently. But, yeah, her husband, you know, died mysteriously in jail in Europe, and she still doesn't have the body. It's been...
She doesn't believe he killed himself. 700
days right now.
Yeah, and she said immediately, like, he didn't kill himself, and she hasn't changed her stance on that as far as I've seen.
Right, because he, you know, insisted that he wouldn't kill himself. He made a cryptocurrency called WACT.
Yeah.
So, it would be a great troll if you intended to kill yourself in jail to make the entire world believe that you didn't.
Like, except
if you're an agent of chaos.
Yeah.
Except to troll your wife that you love.
John McAfee was an agent of chaos.
Yeah,
like he was.
Unless she was in on it, I guess. Well, I don't know. It's so dark and crazy.
Yeah. It is, but he was an agent of chaos in a way that, like, I'm looking at it going, man, maybe tone it down a bit. But I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
I can tell you one story of a U.S. Marshal that I met who was actually a good man. When I got violated on my probation, he showed up with this local cop. And this local cop, I mean, he had his, you know how some of them wear them lead-knuckle gloves and whatnot? This is one of them guys that just like to kick butt. And he actually accused me of stealing the TV that I possessed in my little motel room there. Because I've been out such a short. And, I told him exactly what it costs. Because I had just bought one a year before when I was in my, you know, free state. But, anyway, so this U.S. Marshal that had come with this Jamoke, he ends up doing the transport with me to the federal institution. And we get to talking, and I tell him my story about how I got all hemmed up and whatnot. And I'm wearing an old leather flight jacket from Vietnam, and I said, this is about the last thing I got that my old man left me. And I said, I'm going to be damn well heartbroken if I lose this. Well, he went back to my motel room. He got that, my TV, a half dozen other things that might have meant a damn to me, and he mailed them back to my son.
That's really nice of him. Thank you so much for the night. Thank you so much for the story. I mean, they certainly, I don't know. I don't know anything about the U.S. Marshals. I want to say all cops are bastards, and I believe that's true. Yes, even your dad, the cop, still a bastard, right?
Yeah.
They all are.
Even if he's a nice person to his family, nice person anytime you've seen him, his job is, you know, immoral. Then there's no way to spin that. Even if he doesn't know that it's immoral, it doesn't matter if you know something's immoral or not, if you're doing immoral things.
And these people, like the children of cops who get upset when you say this stuff, they know that their parents are doing this crap. Because when they were 5 years old, their cop dad sat down and said, look, if a cop ever asks you any questions, you don't answer. Never talk to the police.
Like, yeah, just tell them that you're my dad or I'm your dad.
Well, sorry. Maybe. Maybe sometimes that will help if it's a small town or whatever. But in general, there's countless stories of people who grew up in cop families who were told, look, just never answer any questions the police
ask. I've seen it happen with my own eyes with my friend whose dad was just a firefighter in Austin. Like,
yeah.
He let me talk to the cops. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, my dad, the firefighter. Why does that work? I don't know.
Yeah, as long as you're in the club.
I thought they weren't friends. But, yeah, apparently firefighters and cops are more friends than they are with us.
I mean, I've told stories on the show before of me getting pulled over and just being like, oh, sorry, I'm on my way to work. I'm a nurse. And they're like, oh, no, that's fine. See you later. So I don't really want to be in their club, but I guess
I don't know if you're in their club, but, like,
it seemed that way. I mean,
that's an employee.
They see it as like a first responder, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they
that
liked me at least,
right?
But which I don't love, but I do love not getting a speeding ticket. So that part was cool. But they just shouldn't have been harassing me in the first place.
And of course, I'm from Mississippi, where there's a lot of that good old boy crap going on, and a lot of those little clubs and things like that. A kid that I grew up with went on to become like a jail officer. I don't. He wasn't a cop, but he was one of the jail guards.
Yeah, like a correctional officer.
Yeah, I don't remember what his exact position was, but he was. It was a license for him to drive however he wanted, wherever he wanted to go. Meanwhile, he and his wife were shooting up heroin and stuff like that.
Yeah,
he was breaking some pretty bad laws while driving around doing 90 on the freeway and stuff. And whenever he'd get pulled over, he'd just flash his little work ID, and he'd be right on his way. It's just absolutely despicable. So yes, all cops, and U.S. Marshals are cops. Yes. So, yes, I guess they would qualify as being bastards, just like every other cop.
Sure would.
I'm sure they can have moments of, like, doing things, like, that a normal human would find, to be good.
Yeah. But yeah, they're like that villain in Doctor who was like, I let a woman escape the other day. She was telling me about her kids, and I was like, I'm not going to kill her. And as he pointed out, that's how people like you live with yourselves. You do all of these horrible, evil things, but every once in a while, you're having a good day or whatever, you let one of them go. And you convince yourself that you're not actually as evil as you really are. But no, you're just using that act of goodness to perpetuate your acts of evil, and that makes it ultimately an act of evil. And that's what I think of these cops who occasionally do good things. They're just trying to get one good night of sleep.
All those stories where it's like, a cop pulled over and gave a child a lollipop.
Oh my gosh, those make me cringe. Oh, it's Christmas time. He gave me $100 bill. Like,
yeah, so cringy.
That wouldn't even be worth the anxiety of getting pulled over.
My god, like, getting pulled over for it? No way. I'd be pissed off. I'd be like, I can't believe you did this. I mean, I would be to their face like, okay, thank you, and then I'd be pissed off.
I saw this attempt by police to have a good name for themselves on social media, where they they stopped to do a photo op with these kids who were selling lemonade, instead of arresting them and all of the other crap cops usually do.
Hope you paid taxes on your income, children.
And it was just these two cops there drinking this lemonade, and two of the most unhappy-looking children I've ever seen. Like, weren't even pretending to be smiling. Like, it was clear they didn't want these cops there, and the cops were just oblivious to this. And it was an amusing picture, and they got dragged, of course, in the comments for that. It was just for being completely toned up. It was like, hey guys, did you look at the picture before you uploaded it? Because they don't seem to want to have
two terrified children.
I have a UFO story that I just want to get on the record.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like my UFO sighting or anything like that. When I worked at Dugway Proving Grounds in a hotel, I got some kind of security clearance. I just worked at the hotel, front desk of the hotel, and I did the audit at night. There was this guy, he was like a soldier, I don't know, army or what, it was too many years ago, probably army, it was like mostly army people there, and he was staying in the hotel because he wasn't like stationed at Dugway, he was just doing a training thing out in the field there. They have it's as big as Rhode Island, so they have a whole desert to do trainings in, and he just stayed up all night talking to me, I was just standing there at my front desk, I had to be there to do the audit and be there for 8 hours, so he just stood there all night talking to me, and he told me that he has seen UFOs just go into the ground at Dugway, and he said, one day, mark my words, Dugway will be famous for being the place that they say that they found a UFO, they reverse engineered, and they've been flying spaceships around here for years, and people would be like, wow, you actually live there? And whenever I told my bosses the next morning, I was like, it's so weird. He told me that. They were like, he was just flirting with you. But I just want to get that on the record.
That's
for
a
if
weird
it becomes
way of flirting.
True.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But, so, this guy was basically telling you the same sort of stuff that this other person was telling Congress. Like, mm-hmm. hey guys, they're reverse engineering these things, they're trying to fly them, it's technology they're interested in, and they're trying to figure it out. And we have these crafts. So, that's interesting. Let's get going with the phone, 603-283-6160. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live.
Lots of background noise.
Yep. Well, I don't think he was expecting us to flip over. Caller trying to get to you, but I think we're probably on speakerphone.
Probably in the car or something.
Yeah, going to give that one more shot. Are you with us? Yeah, there you go. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, Aria, Bonnie.
Hello. Nikki's here, too.
How are y'all doing?
Yeah, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, I just wanted to tell you that beyond reproach isn't what you think it is. It means that that person is impeccable, that they cannot be viewed.
I thought about asking what it meant, but it sounds bad. So that's what I thought it meant. If the caller is referring to an article that we were reading earlier, and the guy who went to Congress, character
right.
was defined as beyond reproach by another army guy. So, our bad. I thought it meant something bad.
No, again.
It did sound like a bad thing.
Yeah,
I guess
I didn't know.
The meaning of beyond can be taken two different ways.
Yeah, thank you so much for that correction, because you're absolutely right. I'm looking at it now. It's like such that no criticism can be made.
And that's way more interesting, actually,
right.
Because, of course, you know, I would expect him to say something bad about the whistleblower. I wouldn't expect him to say, this is a really good guy.
I guess reproach just sounds like a negative word.
That's literally how I
don't know.
Processed it.
But thank you for the clarification. He's absolutely right. So that does make the story a little bit better. Is that, like, here's this army guy who's like, look, he's telling the truth. I mean, he's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Can't criticize him. 603-283-6160. If you have any UFO or extraterrestrial stories, feel free to give us a call. Share them. 603-283-6160. Coming up, listening to heavy metal helps you be less stressed out. I mean, this checks out to me because I'm not a stressed out person. I'm surrounded by heavy metal. It's Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.